Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast. Here we explore what it means to connect with the people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Tiffany.
So today we're going to kind of talk about just a little kind of tidbit of information I came across this week that I thought was actually really intriguing just in the context of like relationships and Valentine's Day is coming up. So like more like interpersonal relationships or like one-on-one, even just like close friends, closer relationships. Right. And so there's this neuroscience study from 2022, and they found a brief exposure to a novel environment after learning significantly strengthened memory retention through dopamine-linked activity in the hippocampus. So basically what they're talking about is they kind of did this study where when you are introduced to something that's new, your brain kind of pulls your brain's attention, and that kind of surges it with dopamine, right? So it's like a new experience, a new, a novel flavor, or, you know, just something that's a little bit different that your brain isn't used to. Your brain concentrates more energy on it and it pulls dopamine out, which actually increases your retention. Like you'll remember it more than something that's, you know, routine. And so the guy that was kind of talking about this was saying the part of our brains, like a lot of times people feel like time goes by super fast. You know, it's like, oh, the older I get, the quicker time goes. And he was saying some people are under the impression that it's because, you know, when you're 1 year old, a month is a decent percent of your life. And so that's why time goes by fast. But he's like, that's actually not how our brain works. The reason time goes by faster is actually scientifically because when you are, you know, 30, 40, you're experiencing less new things. And so your brain isn't retaining it because it's like, oh, we know what to expect. We've done this before. There's no reason to stock this memory away when we already have a similar memory there.
Right. And you almost don't even need any effort. Like, oh, she's just doing the dishes again. We know this. Shut down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like your brain, it doesn't draw attention to that. It's an autopilot thing. And so he's saying the people that actually remember things, and in some ways it's like slowing down time, is you have to engage in activities that are novel. And it doesn't have to be big, but it can be something as small as like, I don't know, like learning a skill that's different, or going somewhere in your neighborhood and spending time at like a spot that's different than when you normally spend time. Then you're going to remember that afternoon versus going on the same walk you always do. You're not going to remember.
Yeah. So what are some, can you think of some maybe memories in your past that feel really novel and kind of stick out in your memory that would be examples of this?
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, obviously there's the big ones of like when you go on a trip or something. It's like, when we went to Hawaii as a family, that was something I've never experienced before. It was new.
We should all travel more.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like I do have other memories too that are just like I remember the first day of work, you know, and I don't remember the other days of work. I remember the first day of work. I remember like this week, if I'm trying to like scan back through this week and my memory is not that great right now, I feel like even trying to remember like, what did I have for breakfast yesterday? I'm like, I don't know. I honestly could not tell you, but I do remember at some point this week, I did like a gourmet oatmeal bar for myself, and I made like oatmeal with cream and berries. And I remember that night. Like I remember having that night, and I remember dinner that night because it was like something different from my normal routine. And it's not like I've never had oatmeal before, but it was just like something new.
Well, and this is interesting because I was just thinking about some friends I have that are older. I have a couple of friends that are in their 90s, and it's always fascinating the stories that they want to tell you. And it's always thinking back in their memories of these kind of key moments. They're not going to tell you usually short-term memory things.
Yeah.
It's always farther back. And I wonder if that has something to do with this concept of remembering these key moments that were maybe more novel, that their brain latched on and
yeah,
kind of just made this important.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to have more of those moments so that when we're older, we have things to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and it's,
I don't know, not really, but you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's like, and I love the understanding the why, like understanding that if I'm doing something new, I know that in my brain, what's happening is it's firing different receptors. Like it's firing dopamine receptors. Dopamine is flooding. And then my attention is like intently focused on what I'm experiencing because it's trying to understand what's going to happen next. You know, mm-hmm. it's trying to understand like, well, this is something that we can't predict, you know? And so because of that, like the extra attention you spend in the moment, that actually solidifies it in your brain down the road. Ah. So it's kind of like a new way of being present, you know?
Okay.
It's like if you're doing something novel, your brain is automatically going to key and it's going to be more present than if you're doing something routine.
Yeah. Well, and I think you get, like you said, you get that dopamine hit. And so that makes your body and brain want to repeat that again.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And you can't do that with everything you do every day, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be really fun, but
it'd be exhausting,
you know, too. Not practical. Yeah.
If you were actually expending enough energy to remember every single moment of the day, you'd probably die faster.
That's right. Maybe don't try that. But yeah. If we think of key moments in your home, so if you think of things in your home that you could make more novel, or things at work that you could make more novel,
yeah.
Relationships, things like that. So maybe let's start with our homes. What are some things that we can do in our homes to make something more novel and be able to, you know, enjoy it more, increase our memory, and just maybe have a better feeling in our homes than...
Yeah,
they're just mundane.
Well, yeah, cats. That's like, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you think of your home as like the safe space, like where you can relax and like feel, you know, mm-hmm. ideally, right? Like where you can feel like you can let go a little bit. So novelty isn't necessarily something that people think about adding into their home. Like I definitely don't always think about that, but there's a lot of different ways you can take that. Like in design, this is a super important factor, is adding an element of novelty. It's like, I'm sure you may have heard like the rule of like the rule, add something red. It's like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
like a, like, it's a BuzzFeed thing, you know, it's uh-huh. not a literal design rule, but a
well,
lot of
it kind of reminds like, oh, me
red. It's like,
right. It kind of reminds me. So we talked a little bit last time about third places. So I've been working on my dining room, trying to get it ready to start having people over weekly. And I saw this idea online. And so we bought a bunch of white plates and they were just random. Some of them had scalloped edges. Some were just regular plates. Some were rectangle. Mm-hmm. And then one night, whoever was there of my kids sat down and painted plates. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a normal school night. It wasn't a weekend or, you know, anything different. We just painted and it was so fun. And then I noticed for the next few days when there was some downtime, kids would actually wash off what we painted because we didn't like it. And we'd paint again. And so it ended up being this kind of activity in the evening that was definitely novel, not something we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And it still satisfied the coziness. It was nighttime, cozy before bed, kind
yeah.
of you're winding down. And I think when you're crafting or painting or doing something creative, sometimes your brain can rest because you're not thinking of all the other responsibilities. And so it was just a really nice moment. And for me, I think even though it was something small, we're going to remember that because we don't normally do it. It's mm-hmm. not a normal part of our school night routine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that kind of brings me to like this idea, which is kind of the direction that I was really interested in, is like, if novelty increases your ability to retain memory, then how would it impact our relationships if we remember more with each other? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so good.
So like the importance of novelty in relationships and in keeping relationships alive and in keeping like, I don't know, kind of like this idea of being up to date on who it is you're spending your time with. Like, people are changing, you know? And so there's always a sense of novelty in some ways, if you like really dig into it, of like, who is this person I'm sitting across from? And I think that could actually kind of help our brains see people as important more.
Yeah. And I think I was actually at a kind of gathering with a few couples last night, and we were kind of joking. And one of the jokes that came up was how the wives will remember 20 years ago something their husbands did wrong and bring it up. You know, 20 years later has nothing to do with what's going on. And they'll be like, well, remember that one time you did this? And I think when we're talking about novelty, some of it is allowing people to change, allowing people to be someone new or try something new. I've always been more of the kind of like rule keeper in our family. Mm-hmm. And when we go do things, sometimes I'm the one that's like, all right, I'll keep everyone safe on the ground. And then I'll tell dad, I won't tell him. It's just kind of understood. You go do the fun, crazy thing, because one of us has to survive this. And so I'll stay, you know, I'll sacrifice and stay down on the ground and you go do this crazy thing. But sometimes when you keep in those roles, you don't allow each other to grow or change or have those novel experiences. And so I think it's important maybe for yourself or others to invite yourself to try something new, even if it's not your normal personality.
And I think it's also really interesting that, like, in those kind of situations where you've got like a relationship you've been in for a long time, you know, it's like, you know, family is a big one for this novelty idea, because it's like you grew up with these people, you understand, you know, your brain thinks that it understands exactly who they are, but sitting and just like understanding, oh, this person, maybe I don't know them that well, like asking them questions about themselves could be really, really helpful, I think. So we've talked a little bit about like micro novelty, you know, like where it's like just a change in routine or like having a different thing for dinner or, you know, painting plates, doing a little craft that you've never done before. But then there's also this idea with like relationships of like identity novelty. And that is kind of what we're talking about, where it's like your understanding of who someone is probably not accurate. And as soon as you fully realize that, like regardless of who it is, like this is someone, it could be your husband, it could be, you know, your child, someone you've known your entire life or you've known their entire life. And it's like your understanding of who they are is probably not the most up-to-date software, right? Like you probably need to kind of revamp that.
Right. You're remembering them 20 years ago when they forgot to unload the dishwasher.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so it's like, it's the idea of figuring out good questions to ask about who they're becoming, because a lot of people know the answers to that kind of thing, but maybe they don't think they do. Like Bryson and I have this little like deck of cards that we got from his parents for Christmas that are like get to know you questions, basically. And they've been so much more interesting than I thought, because sometimes I feel like you get those and they're just random questions like, who is your crush in high school or who? Yeah. But this one is actually really good because I think it's focused more on who you're becoming as opposed to necessarily who you used to be.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if I didn't know you at all, like let's pretend I had no idea who you were. This was like our first date, or this is the first time we were meeting each other. And I'm kind of just like turning a blind eye to what I already know. I'm just kind of throwing it out. You really understand someone way differently than if you trying to understand them with the context of what you already know.
Yeah. And I wonder what kind of questions, what would the questions look like if you were practicing that?
A lot of them, like the ones that we really enjoy are things like, what would you consider your biggest achievement right now?
Oh, we had one. I think we did something similar to this with some friends. And I think one of them was, what are you most excited about this year? So yes, definitely a time stamp.
That was more of what the one that we were talking about was. It was like, what are you most excited about? It was one asked about, like, if you could have your dream day, like, what would that look like? Or, you know, just stuff like that, where it's like, you're really getting to know who the person is right now, not necessarily who they used to be, you know?
Yeah.
Like, your dream day right now probably has nothing to do with your past. I mean,
well, and I think it gives you some ideas. If you're talking about questions like this, you might actually have something to help them achieve that dream day or whatever they're working on for the year. So if there's something they're really excited about, then you can take note and say, okay, next time there's a hour we have off, instead of just vegging and watching TV, maybe I'm going to say, hey, I remember you talking about this. Yeah. Should we go get some books about it, or should we go, you know, practice something? And it also gives you ideas of things you can do together when you have those kind of questions or conversations.
Well, and I honestly have been so impressed too. Like Bryson and I love driving around and just talking. But sometimes, especially in the winter, when everything just kind of is the same, dead looking outside, and you just kind of get in the doldrums a little bit. We, a lot of times, will have our conversation revolve around the same things over and over again. And so it'll be like, you know, future planning. It'll be like, I don't know, stuff like rent, stuff we're trying to keep up with right now. It'll be, you know, the same thing. And it won't be future planning, like big dream planning. It'll be like, how are we going to achieve buying a house? Are we going to, you know, like stuff like that. And so we actually took this little deck of cards with us a couple times now on just like drives, and the entire, like, the conversations have changed. And it feels like when you are trying to get to know someone and you're really interested in them and you're like, what is this person? Like, I don't understand them, but they're super intriguing. That has kind of become more of the status quo because there's more prompts. There's a novelty there. There's something that our brains have not experienced before. And it's like, oh, I actually, maybe I think I know the answer to this question. And maybe you think you do. But once you start thinking about it, we both are a little surprised by like what the answer really is. You know?
Well, and that's a good point too. Sometimes novelty takes a little more work. You can't just do what you're comfortable doing or what you've always done. So in this case, it's buying a deck of cards that has questions on it, or someone gifted it to you and deciding to use those. You know, keep them in the car, or it could be planning date nights ahead of time. So it's not just, oh, it's Friday night, we should probably just go to Costco together and grocery shop instead of alone. You know? Costco is usually not novel. It can be. I mean, they might have a massage chair there this week and it wasn't there last week. And
that's
true. But
that's true.
You know, normally
there's always different snacks that you can try.
That's true. You have to do, you have to put a little bit of planning into it sometimes.
Well, and another thing that I'm just thinking about is, I know we were like on the phone at some point this last week and you were like, I don't know what to make for dinner. And then you're like, I've been craving cereal lately. And then I like had hung up. And then either you called me or I called you for something else. And you guys were all having a cereal dinner. Like you went and grabbed a bunch of cereal. And it's like, I haven't actually had this in a long time. And yeah, cereal is not a novel. It's not a novelty. But because it's like, well, this is a cereal dinner. Like, we are only having cereal. We have a bunch of different kinds. Everyone, you know, picked a few. Then like, that's a pretty easy way to kind of like make something memorable.
Well, and Dad's so good at that because he was there when I said that. So just backstory, we hardly ever buy cereal. I just don't, because it's not like super expensive, but my kids go through it so fast that I spent all this money. It's gone in a day and it's usually junk. I mean, I don't usually buy very sugary cereal, but so the fact of wanting cereal, that was novel for us because I just don't do that very often. But shout out to Dad, because he was like, let's do it, and jumped in the car and we went right then and got cereal. And we let everybody pick a kind of cereal they wanted. And this is how old people my kids are. Well, you're one of them, but you weren't with us. You would have picked the sugar cereal. But My kids were picking like mini wheats and honey bunches of oats. I'm like, you can pick whatever you want, and you're picking old, like, we got bran flakes. Who gets bran flakes for their...
You got out of there without grape nuts, so I would consider
that.
Well,
I wouldn't have if I had seen them, because I actually really like grape nuts, but yeah. So, I mean, it was novel. Everyone got their own cereal. We had it for dinner. I mean, I don't know they'll remember that for all time, but it definitely will come up. Oh, remember that night we just got cereal? And
yeah,
it doesn't have to be this grand thing that costs thousands of dollars to go on this trip. It can just be something super spontaneous. I don't want to cook tonight. Let's everybody pick their own cereal and we're just going to have cereal for dinner. And then it kind of leads to different kinds of conversations, I think, because that night we didn't necessarily all go sit around the table. We were all just at the bar eating cereal, talking, you know, more informal. Yeah. And that leads to good conversation sometimes.
Well, and it kind of reminds me of this idea when I think I've mentioned this before, but when I was in college, I helped out with like a little middle school production, and I actually helped out with a few, but it was basically this one guy. He was like a science teacher, and he kind of took on the role of drama teacher on his own. Like he paid for everything. He kind of put everything together for these kids, and his goal every year was to pick one thing that he would feel like would elevate the production.
Ooh, so give us some examples. What were some of the things?
So like one example, when he was interviewing me, I was gonna help out with costuming. That's why he was asking me. And he was asking, okay, what can we do to elevate this production? Like, I need some ideas. And one of the ideas, he was like, last year, for example, he bought a few more like stage lights. And so the lighting was a little bit better than it had been the year before. And so this year we went like full out with the costumes. It was Lion King. And so we created different kind of costumes for every kid, where, you know, all the ensemble, they were like different animals, like zebras and I don't know, tigers and kangaroos and random really cool colorful birds. And so it's like we did a lot more with the costuming that kind of elevated the production. It doesn't have to be a ton of work or a ton of stuff you have to buy or a huge trip you have to go on, but it's like, okay, if we're gonna have cereal tonight, how can we elevate it just a little bit to make it a unique experience. You know, if I'm gonna have oatmeal tonight, how can we elevate it just a little bit to make it unique? If I'm gonna, you know, go to work, then how can I elevate my drive just a little bit to make it unique? Like, where can I stop? What can I look at? What different road can I take? You know,
well, and when you were talking about going, you know, you can't go to work for the first time, but I wonder if there's a way that you could try to do something for the first time or see something for the first, not really for the first time, but as if it was your first time, you know. I think the first time you do things, you're noticing more, you're learning, you're curious. And is there a way to approach whatever you're doing with more curiosity, more of that, oh, I want to learn because I want to be better at this. And like you said, choosing even just one thing that you're going to be curious about that day.
Yeah. So there's another kind of element of this I want to bring in, which is like emotional novelty. And that's kind of going into more of like the curiosity thing. One little, like, I don't know, trick, I guess, that I've learned about is specific honesty. And so what that looks like is when you're in a conversation with someone, or this can apply to, you know, not just conversations, but having specific honesty. So like if I was talking with Bryson, like one thing that I am curious about is I want your take on when we first met, like what did you think about me the first like 5 minutes of when we met? And if you can't remember, what do you think you would have thought about me? You know what I mean? And so it's like very specific honesty that cues a novelty kind of thing with our brains.
If you can't remember, just the fact of trying to dig and remember makes your brain think, oh, this is important. I need to remember this. And it will bring it back up and stay there. So even if you can't remember, what did you think? Well, do you remember where were we? or what was I wearing? Or, and then as you start to remember those details, then you kind of will start remembering, oh yeah, I remember that I was surprised about this or whatever it is. But I think, you know, your brain has so much to focus on. And if it thinks you don't need that information, then it'll store it away. So if you're trying to retrieve it and remember it, it's telling your brain, this is important to me. And then it's easier to bring that memory to the surface. And
And it's like, I feel like it can be applied to, you know, things that maybe aren't just conversations too. Like one example would be like at work the other day, me and a coworker were kind of just talking about plays and, you know, musical productions. And at one point months ago, we had talked about a musical production and I was like, yeah, I'd like to audition for another one at some point. And we were looking at different auditions and there was like one at a nearby place that hadn't been announced yet. And we spent kind of, you know, 5 minutes or so trying to guess what they would announce, like what would come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a very specific, like, oh, this is important to me. This is a genuine interest to me that I'm like really curious about, you know, this audition. You're also really curious about like what they're going to perform. And we kind of threw out guesses. And then I was driving along the highway the other day and I saw a sign and it had listed the production had finally been announced and it had been one of my coworkers' guesses. And so the next day at work, I was like, hey, you were right. Like you totally guessed it out of the blue. That's what they're performing. And, you know, it's like this little novelty of like very specific honesty, just like little tidbits, like sharing little tidbits about yourself or even better asking little tidbits that you're like, hey, chocolate or sour candy? Okay. But more than that, what sour candy do you like? What kind of irks you? Like, is there any candy that you really dislike? You know, just like really specific, like those things I think can be really fun and kind of make you interested in someone again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's so important in relationships to put some effort into it. Not like we said, not all the time. I mean, that would get too exhausting, but it is important to sometimes put some effort into these relationships we have. And it shows the people around us, we care about them. I mean, I don't know what makes you feel more loved than someone remembering you and coming up and asking something about you. You know? It's like, this person's interested in what I'm doing and who I am. And it really makes a difference. And I think, like you said, it gives you that dopamine hit. It makes your body feel good. And according to this study, it can improve your memory, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is a good point too. Like we're not pursuing chaos, right? Like there's a big difference between novelty and chaos. And if you tried to have, you know, something like brand new every single day, you're probably going to get kind of tired of not having some sort of routine, you know?
Well, and I feel like I've kind of done that before where you get off a trip that you really liked and you get home and you find yourself just like, oh, I want to be on another trip. And you're always looking for something else. So we're not saying that. It's not where you're constantly wanting something other than what you have. Yeah. It's more of seeing what you have and how you can show those people around you that they're important by putting some effort into it and by asking questions and thinking of experiences to do together that would be a memory you would want to retell later, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with Valentine's coming up. I mean, not everyone likes to celebrate Valentine's, but it is a date on the calendar when you kind of think about your significant other. And last year, if you listened to our podcast, I had done a big Valentine's party and you had done something with you and Bryson, right? You had planned an intimate night and I had planned a bigger thing with some friends. And I found myself this year thinking, it's almost Valentine's. I got to plan this big thing again. What am I going to do? And then I just had to stop myself and think, well, last year I needed that. This year, what is it I want to create? You know, do I want a big thing? Do I want something more intimate that's low key and just me and dad? Or, you know, and so I think just reevaluating what is it that I want this particular day or week to look like? And then how can I add something into that that's going to make it memorable?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I really, I don't know. It's just, I've had a few experiences lately that have made me really like this little kind of fun learning jaunt has really made it sink in. Like last night, I went to like a concert with a friend, and it was kind of a last minute thing. It's somebody at church has a band, and we like to support them because they actually have really good music.
Wait, you didn't invite me to your concert? Just kidding. I would have driven 10 hours.
Fly on down. And so it was fun because Bryson was hanging out with some friends and they were doing like a boys' night. And so I texted a few friends, kind of just threw it out there like, hey, anyone want to go to a concert with me? And one of my friends was like, yeah, I'd love to go. And so we both kind of dressed up and went out, and it was just like me and her. And it was this like tiny little bar in Salt Lake. And I was like, I parked around the block and kind of had to walk in. It was like a little bit, like it was a little sketchy. Yeah. Downtown Salt Lake at night.
You made it out.
Isn't my favorite, but yeah. But it was definitely something that I was like, I normally wouldn't like doing this by myself, like going to some random sketchy bar, you know?
Yeah.
But because I had someone there with me, and I feel like there's like just enough stability that I could enjoy the novelty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that seems like it's got to be the key. Like, you want to have enough routine or enough normalcy in your relationship, enough comfortable, like where you just feel comfortable and satisfied. Like that is a really healthy thing, and it's important to remember that. And then because you have that, you can then kind of branch out and look for moments of novelty.
Yeah, and you'll remember that. And when you go to church, because you said this band, you went to church with some of them, right? So I mean, when you go to church, if they saw you there, I mean, that just makes another point of contact where you have something to talk about. Hey, I saw your concert last night. And you know what I mean? Maybe you go to church every week and you're kind of like, I don't know, we talk about the same things. I'm not sure what else to say, especially if you don't hang out with all of them all the time. So something like that is
crazy. Yeah. Like do feel a lot closer to this one friend because we did something unique together.
Yeah.
Like we did something that was novel together. And so there is a definite like closeness there that I'm like, oh, this is someone I can trust in one of those situations.
Yeah.
It's like my brain connects those things, you know?
Right. And if it hadn't worked out well, you would be laughing and you'd be like, remember that time we tried to go to this place and had to run out the door and, you know, whatever. You'll just you're going to have a memory no matter what. And so it might be a funny one. It might be really meaningful. You never know. But just trying those new things is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to read this one little like, I don't know, truth, call to action, whatever you want to call it. This idea that stability keeps relationships safe and novelty keeps them alive. And so I feel
so
like,
good.
Yeah, don't want to poo-poo on either one of those. It sounds like, you know, it'd be easy to be like, oh, yeah, it's a safe relationship. But that's valuable. That is so valuable to have a safe relationship. And so just kind of remembering like maybe, okay, what do I need more, you know, this upcoming year, or like even, like Valentine's Day, like, do I need novelty to kind of keep this alive or do I need safety, you know?
Yeah.
And basing it off of that, I think can be.
Yeah. Seeing where you're at and what part of the relationship you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe do one unfamiliar thing with someone that you care about this week.
Mm-hmm.
Try to add just one. It could be a big thing. It could be a little thing. It could be a cereal dinner.
I mean, so this is so simple, but I just bought these little lamps and put on our nightstands. Jared's been out of town, out of the country, actually, for like 9 days. And while he was gone, we kept saying, I wish I had a better light to read at night, but not have our full overhead light on. If the other person's trying to go to sleep, just like something that we could read or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I got these lamps while we were gone, and it's been so fun because I got the smart lights where you can program them. So automatically at a certain time when I'm in bed, it'll slowly start to dim. And then it feels like super cozy. And I know that sounds so dumb, but it is.
That's cool.
It's been so, so fun this last week. And I just thought, who knew? Like a lamp with a smart light is something new in my room, and it makes my room feel so cozy. And every time when it automatically dims, I know that means that, okay, it's time to wrap it up and get ready for bed. So every time they dimmed at night, it got super like dark and cozy with this warm lamp light. And it just kind of made going to bed more fun.
Which I need.
Yeah. So it's like I wanted to go in my room and wind down and read and get ready for bed. Whereas before, I mean, it is dark up in Washington. It gets dark so early, but it was just dark. Like that was it. Yeah. And you'd kind of come in, it'd be cold and dark. And now it's got this like cozy lamplight. It was not expensive. I mean, smart bulbs are more expensive than regular light bulbs, but not, you know, not like going on a trip to Hawaii.
Right.
You know, you can just choose one little thing, elevate your space a little bit, and then just, I don't know, it just feels nice. And then when Jared gets home tonight, I think it will be nice for him because he's been doing a medical mission trip in Honduras, working long hours, like trying to get as many cases in as they can to help these people. And so when he gets home, he's going to be tired. And I feel like this is going to be a nice way to just like back to his own space, but it's cozy. And, you know,
that's like the perfect example of adding a little bit of novelty for you, but adding a little bit of safety for him. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's true. Because I will say, I was telling him about them and I was like, so I threw away our alarm clock. He's like, what? And I was like, well, so I got these lamps and so I programmed them to slowly have the light turn on at 4 a.m. And he's like, why would you do that? And he has to get up super early for work. Uh-huh. And he's like, but I just automatically wake up. I don't really need the light. And then if the light turns on at 4, then you're really going to be awake. I was like, okay, that's true. Maybe. So I did delete the 4 a.m. light alarm clock.
Smart.
So, you know, you live and you learn. There may be things you have to adjust with your novelty experiment, but it's safe and it's something novel at the same time. And it just like makes me happy. And I think that's the point, is like you have these, you know, relationships with people and you just do one little thing and it makes you happy. It brings joy and it just builds relationships, which is kind of what we're hoping to be all about here on this podcast.
Yeah. And hopefully this is something that you can employ, you know, in your relationships at home or your relationships abroad. That sounds weird.
We're assuming there's a lot of people in Europe listening to this podcast.
We're pretty famous. Hopefully this is useful to you in whatever way you want to use it
in the world. So choose one thing, go out there and make a difference in somebody's life, in your own life, and you'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time.
Till next time.